Hello guys, welcome to another episode of What Did Shay Say. I want to let you guys in on a little thing. Today is July the 7th, it's 2020. We got a lot of things coming on, situations, speaking. We may talk about defunding the police. Who knows? This is the podcast that brings you information, more like education. Could be misinformation in sometimes, but this is my opinion and not to be taken as whatever it is you want it to be. In this situation, I also want to talk about things that I learned, a lot of the different scenarios I learned today about the Camilla massacre. And guys, if you don't know, I'm from a small town in Southwest Georgia called Pelham, Georgia. It's 30 miles south of Albany, and just today I learned about the massacre that occurred in Camilla in 1868. So it might bring some information to some of you guys. Another thing I want to mention and talk about are the lynchings that are going on. All of a sudden, our boys are suicidal and hanging themselves from trees. So hopefully there'll be a couple of things that we can cover throughout this time, and I can circle back and retract my thoughts as far as what's going on and what I remember I was going to talk about. All right. So for one, defunding the police. A lot of people are getting confused about what defunding the police really means. Just for clarity, defunding the police is not having people not having cops. A lot of people are getting that really confused. Defunding the police means more or less making sure that the money is being put in different places. We are not anti-police when we say that. If you're changing the meaning of whatever defunding the police means, it is simply you knowing what it looks like instead of funding a police effort, or instead of funding it, it becomes disbanded more or less. When you take the cops and you think about putting them or reallocating some to different police departments, especially the ones that are problematic, getting rid of those guys, funds away from the police department to other social services, more or less to reduce their likelihood of police violence in neighborhoods that are actually like innocent people that are just being policed. The police departments actually were developed initially by slave patrols in the first place. So when you think about the reason they were actually put together, they were put together in an effort to get any slaves that were bailed or any slaves that were actually in a place of escape. So if slave patrols were created for that reason and they just turn these into police stations, then come on, guys, we got a lot of that same mentality within the realms of the police department, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter that there, you know, has been different infiltrations of black people working in the police departments. A lot of this history we don't know. Okay, so that's one. So on defund the police, please understand this concept exists. And the concept exists when it comes to an initial step of creating just a entirely different model that is led on community public safety, is led with helping and protecting for real, you know, in mind. Because what happens with the black community, we don't feel protected by police officers. Yes, we know some good cops, and I don't really have a lot of problems with a lot of the cops. I know my neighbors when I grew up, you know, we're police officers, good people, you know what I'm saying? But what I am saying, for the most part, many black Americans and people of color do not feel protected by the police. So when we talk about divesting the funds and ending this culture, like, of punishment from the criminal justice system, that's what we want. Because training and body cameras haven't brought about the change like we want to see, because clearly they know what they can say to enact their arrest. You know, you're resisting, stop resisting. And that terminage, that verbiage needs to go. The whole way that they're able to say certain things to get off and then make an arrest happen after they saying, oh, you're because they don't let us ask questions. It's like, you be quiet and you get arrested. And it's like, wait a minute, why are you arresting me? And now it becomes, oh, you're resisting. So we need a lot of radical changes in our cities to enforce things in a different way without these, you know, supposed community policing strategies that they are doing to actually cause more problems within our communities. All right, number two, that Camilla massacre. If nobody knows about this, let me just go ahead and tell you a little bit more, because I was so shocked and appalled. I was actually, y'all, let me tell you, it is 5:38 a.m. Okay, I get up way too early. But what I want to say is this: the Camilla massacre took place in Camilla, Georgia, on September the 19th in 1868. And so what we don't learn about a lot in our history is the Reconstruction era. And Reconstruction, for the most part, was a point in time where historically we were kind of granted a real black kind of era right here to kind of get ourselves some power. It was a lot of black power going on during this time that a lot of people don't recognize. But this was pretty much a voting situation right before a voting incident that occurred. If you don't know about this, a couple of black people, well, a lot of black people, like hundreds of black people, walked from Albany, Georgia to Camilla, Georgia. And it was, you know, this walk, freedmen, the blacks, and, you know, some whites, to go to this Republican rally, because back then a lot of people were Republican, for where they allowed blacks in the party. And if they were 1/8 of something, black, they got rid of them or dismissed them. So they pretty much removed the seats of these government officials who had been in their positions because they were partially black, okay, to sum it up. So the sheriff, when these people arrived, the sheriff and the so-called citizens committee had told the black people that they needed to not show up and that they would be met with violence. And when they got there, many of the marchers that were there, they had continued to the courthouse, and a lot of the white people and stuff just opened fire on them. Y'all, I was so shocked. I have lived in Mitchell County. I grew up and born and raised in Mitchell County all my life. And I am 7 minutes away from Camilla, Georgia, and I never knew I lived in Mitchell County. And so this is nothing that we were taught. So basically, I read a verse that said, whites proceeded, it was a sentence or a statement, it was pretty much like, whites proceeded through the countryside over the next 2 weeks, beating and warning Negroes that they would be killed if they tried to vote in the upcoming election. This was pretty much the stuff that happened, and it had been plaguing Southwest Georgia toward the end of the Civil War. And they kept people from voting. So when we talk about going out and voting, this is a hidden pass that's in Camilla. Like, I literally live 7 minutes away from this location and never knew about this. And what I was doing was I was looking up a couple of, as a teacher, I was looking up some things online that was pretty much about lessons and educational resources for students in the classroom. And I'm not a history teacher or any of that stuff, but as far as, you know, black history and things of that nature, I think we can all be a little bit more aware. And I found this really cool website, and now I can't even remember what the website was. I didn't do any screenshots, so that's on me. But I need to go back and see if I can find it. But what I'm trying to tell you is, all of these things occurred in Mitchell County. And I was just so, you know what? I think it was called the Zen Education Project. Guys, if you can look up the Zen Education Project, it's pretty much a really good, and especially if you're a teacher, it gives you free teaching activities, and it talks about different teaching materials you can use. And so I was looking up information on, I ended up on reparations because I have a friend who's being a who's doing a real big movement on reparations, and my friend from college, his name is Russell, and he's been putting out a lot of information about reparations, doing rallies, and just traveling all over the country, big moves. But in any case, I just wanted to mention that this website, Zen Education Fund and Zen Education Project, put something out. And so I had been on Instagram, and I think I remember seeing someone post up, you know, different locations of where massacres and things like that had occurred. And it talked about black massacres, and it talked about Chicago in 1919, you know, Tulsa in 1921, some of the more important stuff, because of Red Summer in 1919 with Chicago is how that, you know, all of this really pretty much kicked off. And it went from, you know, those things, Memphis, 1866, which I don't know about that one, but it was talking about Rosewood, and it wasn't a lot of that was being spoken, but it mentioned on a map all of these spots. It pointed to the location, geography, you know, the geographical location of all these different massacres. And I was so shocked and appalled to see Camilla, 1868, down at the bottom. So I had to go and do some research. And if you're from Camilla and you're listening to this podcast, I mean, I never knew. I don't think anybody has done anything to commemorate the victims or the people. They say one of the first commemoration ceremonies was in 1998, and that was over 20 years ago. Way over 20. I graduated high school in 1998. No, ma'am. Not 1928. In 1998. So what I'm saying is, I don't remember any commemoration on, you know, in regards to this. I don't remember any knowledge about this or whatever, but I suggest you go and look up some information on your own. Just take a look at it. See what you can find out about the Camilla Project, the Camilla Massacre, and maybe, you know, get some people around to actually, you know, find out what happened, relatives that may have been ancestors or any of that stuff. Just keep in mind that it's a lot of things that we don't know, a lot of history that was never placed in the books. And maybe we can do something about that. And that was, once again, September 1868. I can't remember the last thing I said I was going to talk about. But I can, you know, try to wrap this up. I only want like a 15-minute recording, so let's see what that was about. Lynching, the lynchings that are popping up. So all of a sudden, our boys are pretty much suicidal, was what I said earlier. I'm so disappointed in the way a lot of these cases have been handled. This one case, I don't know if you've seen it, where these guys had actually pulled this black boy, and it was being recorded. He was with five of his friends at a pool or a lake in the woods, and they pretty much threatened to lynch him. They wrapped him around a pole. He put up this big article on Sean King, so you might want to take a look at that, guys. I don't know if you know anything about it, but I mentioned it earlier, Chicago in 1919, Red Summer kicked off, and Red Summer is pretty much where, blacks were lynched. White murderers lynched black people. So Red Summer was in 1919, about 60 something people were killed or lynched or hanged across America. And then in, the next year, 1920, it was like 80 something. So it might be like a movement of Red Summer to be put back out in the atmosphere. Who knows? A lot of this happened where they were bringing victims of lynching out now and trying to say it's suicidal. I just don't believe it, y'all. Stay diligent. I told my son, please don't go anywhere alone. Double up, get your friends, y'all go together in groups. But there, I read while I was doing research on that, Theodore Bilbo, a United States Senator in 1934 and 1947, said, And it usually happens during election year, so be on the lookout. But it says, I call on every red-blooded white man to use any means to keep the Negro away from the polls. If you don't understand what that means, you're just plain dumb. You and I know what's the best way to keep a nigger from the polls, from voting. You do it the night before the election. So with that being said, there's a lot of intimidation factors going on. And a lot of these intimidation factors could just very much well be from hate groups because of the tension that's going on in the United States. But it also could be a revitalization of old ways of thinking, because we don't know a lot about why, you know, the lynchings were occurring and things of that nature. But these new modern day lynchings that are happening now, where they're trying to say and rule things as suicidal, need to be really watched. So they're protesting lynchings in different places. And did you also know that a car hit two people that were protesting the lynching attempt, the lynching attempt in Indiana? So the whole thing with the lynching attempt, a person drove a car through protesters. Yeah, the guy was just in, you know, trying to be, well, the people in the passengers, you know, they were just trying to hit the people. But anyways, they hit them. And they hit white people. So these were white people. They got hit by the car. In essence, it's a crazy world. Things are going on. Just stay mindful. Stay prayerful. Talk to your family members, educate them on things that you don't know about, give them information about things that can be done. You know, let's see if we can get a call to action in Camilla to commemorate some of these people that passed away during this tragic event that unfolded in Camilla. Know what's going on with defund the police. A lot of people get upset when they hear the term, but guys, you need to recognize what that is. And hey, as a matter of fact, they defund education all the time. They defund teachers all the time. So, we get our budgets cut so many ways. We have almost $60 million budget, I think they said, going on in Cobb County, where we got to get in cut funding. So it's going to be a lot of that going on anyway. And then last but not least, with the lynchings, and I just don't want to see any of that going on and popularizing itself across the nation, because with them not doing any real investigations, people are getting off when these young boys are not going and hanging themselves. We know that. So, you know, be mindful. Stay diligent. Guys, this concludes an episode of What Did Shay Say? I hope you guys enjoy your time. I simply come out here to inform and put some education out, because that's just what I do. I'm a teacher, so it's like, you know, I get caught up in things that I know, and I feel I have too much information. It's things that actually need to be said and clarified in some respects. So maybe I'll put out more episodes. I should have put out more episodes like last month, but I just, sometimes I get so busy, I don't even go ahead and record. But I had so many episode ideas. So instead of the one that I dropped, I may decide to drop a lot more in the next coming days. But let me know what you think. Like, click share, subscribe. And thank you for listening. Thank you for all the views I got over the last couple of weeks, especially with the ones from out of country. I don't know who you are, but I'm good with Ireland, Germany, and some other place. I can't even remember. Denmark, Finland, who knows? Either way, thanks for listening. This concludes an episode of What Did Shay Say?